you have a stone in your life today, what do? We give it to Jesus. Amen.
Said you had a stone been in your way so long, a test of faith, a heavy weight that takes away your soul. Oh, don't give in, you have a friend, he could move your stone. For he alone will help you smile again. He can take a little rock and make a giant fall. Bring down the stones on Jericho's mighty wall. He can move away the rock, sealing up the tomb. And he can move that stone that troubles you. Sometimes it seems God's forgotten me. Does he really care? Is he aware of my every need? Then I recall his word. He controls this earth. But it brings me to, he'll bring you through, that's good enough for me. He can take a little rock and make a giant fall. Bring down the stones on Jericho's mighty wall. He can roll away the rock, sealing up the tomb. And he can move that stone that troubles you. He can roll away the rock, sealing up the tomb. And he can move that stone that troubles you. And he can move that stone that troubles you.
I'm really, really excited, enjoying the service. We're experiencing something new. And I'll share more of this later on, maybe a month away or so. But I feel like we are moving away from the ministry that is program-centered into a ministry that is spirit-led. Amen? So what God wants to do is teach us how to follow the leadership of the Holy Spirit. And Wendy, Ruth, Nita, and the worship team, you did a great job following the leadership of the Holy Spirit. Those of you that shared testimony were following the prompting of the Holy Spirit. And those that were called forward in prayer, the body of Christ was following the prompting of the Holy Spirit. And as we do that, we're going to step into areas of supernatural provision that we never dreamed. God will do things because that's how the kingdom of God operates. The kingdom of God moves forward under the power of the Holy Ghost. And what that means is that the Holy Spirit in us, we release to do his work among us through our worship and then through obeying that little voice that tells us to call somebody for prayer or to share a testimony. The Spirit of God leads us, confirming we're sons and daughters of God. And when we start in that flow, it's a wonderful, wonderful thing that can happen in the middle of God's people. And we're starting to step into that. So I encourage you to keep following the flow of the Holy Spirit. Let that stream flow. Don't dam it up. Don't step out of it. Step into it. Until you're in deep enough that you can swim for the glory of God. Amen? Well, I don't want to steal any more of the thunder from our guest speaker today. Yesterday, they got up from Faith Bible School in Charleston just before noon. We got them all set up at our house in New Sweden and then took them down to WFSD, and Michael preached the radio sermon on our broadcast there. And we're just excited to be there and listen to him and watch. And Krista, who's station manager out there, was just delighted as she was listening to the ministry of the word, just sitting there excited and nodding her head. And we're just grateful that they're with us. Michael comes from Pennsylvania, and his wife Cassidy comes from Maine. She's a Maine girl. She's one of us, amen? I'm adopted now into the Maine group, so you got to take me whether you like it or not. But we're going to turn the ministry over to Michael, and he can introduce Cassidy later. She's going to sing for us. God bless you, brother. Take your liberty as you preach the word of God.
Hallelujah. Before I get in the word today, I'm actually going to have my wife come up. She'll come with me. Everybody give her a hand. If I start speaking, I'm not going to stop, so I'm just going to let her start.
Well, it's such a blessing to be with you all today. How many just believe that God is so good? I'm so thankful he's been so good to me. I just want to share my testimony with you guys real quick. But I grew up in a Christian home. My parents were constantly like doing missions work. I spent a lot of time at my grandparents' house, Skyping with them. When they were younger, they did missions in Mexico. And then when I was younger, they did a lot of missions in Haiti. And the first time that they went to Haiti was right after the earthquake in 2010. And that forever not only changed their life, but it changed my life. I remember, I can't remember if it was that exact trip or the next trip. My parents Skyped us one night. I was sitting at my grandparents' house in their little office in front of the computer. And they brought in front of the screen this little girl who, when they first met her, she was about 11 days old. And she said, "This is going to be your new little sister." And they began the adoption process with her. And then, once again, I was young, so I can't remember like the exact details of everything. But it might have been that week. It might have been the next trip that they went to. I think it was the next trip that they went to visit Kimberly. They brought in front another child who was a little boy. And they said, "Guess what? You're going to have a little brother." And so they began the adoption process of two kids in Haiti. And the thing about Whitney, the reason why they so spur of the moment began to adopt him as well, is the pastor brought him in front of all the missionaries that were down there in the orphanage at that time. And they said, "We just got Whitney in. Turns out he has hydrocephalus, which is water around the brain, and sounded like he was going to die in Haiti. His head was like size of a 16-year-old, and his body was the size of like just weeks old. And so he was just dying, and pretty much his brain was being smushed by water. And so many times my parents would get calls from the orphanage and the pastor in Haiti, "When he's not doing well, he's going to die in Haiti. We're bringing him to church to pray for him." And, you know, I didn't realize all the details and everything that really went on when I was a child because I was so young. But as I've been older, my parents have shared some more detailed things of what went on. And I just remember being in my room in elementary school and saying, "God, I know that my brother isn't doing well. I need you to heal him." Me and my sister would pray together. And let me tell you, the agencies in Haiti and everything working with the United States, they told us that it's going to take 30 days to bring Whitney home because of how sick he was. And 30 days went by, 2 months went by, 6 months went by. 2 years later, we finally got Whitney home. He had survived 2 years in Haiti with this disease, hydrocephalus, not enough food. And we brought him home, and there was a doctor who went from Georgia into Haiti who got a scan of his brain, so we were able to see it. So as soon as he got home, they would just be able to go in and get him fixed up and soon as he got home, my parents took him to Portland, expecting to have to take him to Boston very soon after to get a few scans and testing done. And we got the scans back, and let me tell you, he's completely healed in the name of Jesus. Not only was his brain healed, but he had a hernia that was going to have to get fixed, and that was healed as well. So let me tell you, when God starts a good work, he finishes it. And this is a testimony. It's so personal in my heart because he's my brother, for one. But it also was foundational in my faith today. And you can't tell me God can't do anything you ask him to do. And just one more quick testimony. So this was a pretty recent one. But my sister, for like a month and a half, was very sick. We didn't know what was going on. She'd have like flu-like symptoms, and then she'd be like throwing up. She had bruises all over her for some reason. Cuts just weren't healing weeks and weeks later, and she's 18 years old, so pretty weird stuff. She went and got blood work done. Come to find out, her white blood cells were like scary, scary low. And I don't know if you know anything about white blood cells, but there's very few things that cause your white blood cells to drop that low. And it was looking like she was going to have leukemia and have to go through that process. I'm like, man, my sister's 18 years old. How is this happening? And so she got blood work done on a Wednesday, and she still wasn't feeling great. My mom, over the weekend while we were waiting for more results, she was telling me, she's like, Cassie, I remember during like the 21 days of fasting at the beginning of the year, the Lord put on my heart to pray for Kayla. And she's like, I just remember standing outside her room believing. She's like, I could just feel that there was going to be something that happened over this year. And she said she literally went, like, laid on her bed and brought anointing oil and anointed her door. And so white blood cells and platelets that low, to get up to a normal, like, normal level, normally takes weeks to months to build back up. And she got blood work done on a Wednesday, was really, really low. She went back and got blood work done Monday, 5 days later. And the results came back after 5 days of praying for her and believing that everything was going to be normal. We got the blood work back from her blood work on Monday, and everything was completely normal. All of her symptoms were gone. And so, like I said, something that should have taken weeks and months to even after being healed should have taken so much longer. Took the Lord 5 days to do it. So God is good. And I know that the Lord put those testimonies on my heart to share today for a reason. And I have a song for you guys to sing. I'm going to do that now. How many are so thankful there's power in the name of Jesus? Cause I just wanna speak the name of Jesus over every heart and every mind. Cause I know there is peace within your presence. I speak Jesus. Oh, I just want to speak the name of Jesus till every dark addiction starts to break, declaring there is hope and there is freedom. I speak Jesus. Oh, your name is power. Your name is healing. Your name is life. Break every stronghold. Shine through the shadows. Burn like a fire. Cause I just want to speak the name of Jesus. Over fear and all anxiety, to every soul held captive by depression, I speak Jesus. Your name is power, your name is healing, your name is light. Break every stronghold, shine through the shadows, burn like a fire. I would just encourage you, if you're believing for something and if you need Jesus spoken over situations today, I pray, God, in the name of Jesus, your presence would fall in this place today, God. I thank you, Lord, that there's power in that name, oh Jesus, to change situations, God, to break down strongholds, God, to bring healing in this place, God. I thank you that what you've done for me and my family, God, you can do in this room right now, God. Thank you, Lord, that there's power in the name of Jesus. Just begin to lift up those needs to the Lord. He's changing those situations right now. Hallelujah. Shout Jesus from the mountains. Jesus in the streets. Jesus in the darkness over every enemy. And Jesus for my family. I speak the holy name. Jesus, shout Jesus, shout Jesus from the mountains, Jesus in the streets, oh Jesus in the darkness over every enemy, oh Jesus for my family, I speak the holy name, Jesus. Your name is power, your name is healing, your name is light. Oh, break every stronghold, shine through the shadows, burn like a fire. 'Cause I sought the Lord and he heard and he answered. I sought the Lord and he heard and he answered. I sought the Lord and he heard and he answered. That's why I trust him. That's why I trust him. I sought the Lord and he heard and he answered. I sought the Lord and he heard and he answered. I sought the Lord and he heard and he answered. That's why I trust him. That's why I trust in God. My Savior, the one who will never fail. He will never fail, 'cause I trust in God. My Savior, the one who will never fail. He will never fail.
Well, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise him. Praise him. He inhabits the praise. Don't stop. Don't stop. Keep praising him. Keep praising him. He's worthy of the praise. He's worthy of the glory. We've heard so many testimonies this morning of what God's done, how God's done it, that he's done it good every single time, every single time. You know, I go to college, and there's so many people who look around and just say, well, this is just the hand that the Lord's dealt me. No, no. God has great things for you. He wants you to be healed. He wants you to be delivered. He wants you to be set free. And I've come here to tell you that today is your day. Say, today's my day. Say it so the devil can hear it. Say, today's my day. and it's going to be a bad day for the enemy in the mighty name of Jesus. Give him a hand clap of praise.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Well, as Pastor mentioned previously before, I'm Mike. This is my wife, Cassidy. We're from Faith Bible College International. We also have launched our own ministry quite recently called Kingdom Come Ministries. That was about, 2 years we've been doing it? Give or take. Yeah, a year and a half, 2 years. So we've seen so many things. And this is just before I get into my message, I just want to testify about the goodness of God. We've seen so many things, great miracles happen in our ministry. We were just in the Dominican Republic about 3 weeks ago. And down there, I'm telling you what, they need Jesus. They need Jesus. Every single one of them. Every single one of them, they need Jesus. You go down there, you see that the medical care is, it's not like we have here. They rely on God for every single thing. When they have a sickness in their body, they don't just pop a pill. They get on their knees and they worship the God who created them. And they ask for healing. And you know what? They receive it. It's a whole other level of faith there. Let me tell you a story that's going to raise your faith. Because I believe that the Lord's going to heal some people in this room today. I prayed, and I prayed even before while I was standing right there, that not a single person would leave here the same. Not a single person who is sick here would leave here the same. I'm talking from the front to the back, from side to side. Not a single person would leave here with an ailment in Jesus' mighty name. Because that's the God we serve. We don't serve a God who heals some and leaves the others. No, we serve the God that heals all in Jesus' mighty name. So we're in the Dominican Republic, and my father-in-law and I, we took turns preaching. I took two nights, and he took two nights. And so this would have been the second to last night. This would have been the third night. My father-in-law is preaching, and he asked people to come up and receive Christ, and people received Christ, praise the Lord. And he asked that people would come and if they needed healing in their body. So a woman came up, and she said she was talking to my father-in-law and I afterwards, but she had come up because there was a mass in her lungs, right? There was a tumor, or whatever. It was in her lungs, and she was having trouble breathing. She was actually going to leave the service because she had so much struggling of breathing. She had so much pain and discomfort. She was actually going to leave the service. But it came time for the altar call and everything, and my father-in-law gave the call for healing, and she said, you know what? I'm going to come up. She had faith. Her coming forward was a step of her faith. So she comes up, and my father-in-law and I, we lay hands on her. We're praying that the Lord would heal her. And all of a sudden, she said she felt a pop in her chest. Imagine like feeling a pop in your chest. It's got to be something pretty crazy. She felt a pop in her chest, and she walked out of that place breathing normally. Praise God. She healed fully. Not a single bit of it left. Breathing like she breathed when she was a little girl. So I'm telling, why am I telling you this today? I'm telling you today to raise your faith. That if God can do it for some woman in the Dominican Republic who had possibly something in her chest who would have killed her, he can do it for you in Jesus' mighty name. No, I know I'm not telling you anything new. You know, I walk around here, all I see is faith. I know this room is filled with faith right now. I know the Holy Spirit's in this room right now. But the faith, the thing about faith, and this is what I'm preaching on today. The title of my sermon today is called The Same God, for those of you taking notes. But I'm preaching on faith today. I'm a traveling evangelist. What else am I going to preach on? But faith. Faith is important, especially nowadays. You know, I didn't always grow up a Pentecostal. You know, I was Catholic for many, many, many years of my life, so I just grew up in religion. I didn't grow up in faith. I grew up in religion. I grew up in a place where you go, you sing a couple of hymns, the priest, you know, rings a couple bells, and you get some goosebumps, and you go home. So that's what I was used to. Until I encountered the Lord, until I seen the Lord be faithful in my life. I'll tell you another story that's going to raise your faith. There was a time in my life, and this is completely off my notes. I'm just going off with the Spirit. I had a whole message prepared. It was really nice. It was all, you know, everything was good. I had my 3 points in a poem, and I was great. This is where the Lord's leading me, because I know there's people who are going to be healed today. So I was about 15 years old, and I went to go, at 16, I went to go donate blood, and just something my mom did, something I, you know, just wanted to go do, just wanted to go help out, you know? And so I go to donate the blood, and the lady, the nurse is checking my heart, you know how they check it before, you know, to make sure you're all good. And she said, you can't donate blood. And I said, why? I'm like, why? I'm like, I'm 16, I've got to be healthy, come on now. And she said, your heartbeat, like, it's irregular, you have like an extra beat in there. She's like, you better go get that checked out. And I was like, oh man, I'm 16. At the time, I really I really, you know, it's not that I wasn't serving the Lord, but I could have done a better job. And so automatically my thought went to panic. I'm like, man. So we go to the cardiologist, and they run tests and everything, and they said, son, you better get help quick, because by the time you're 25, you're going to have a heart attack and die. I'm 16 years old, barely even driving. And they're telling me I'm going to be dead at 25. Well, thank God for the praying mother. Say amen. Thank God for a praying mother and a praying grandmother. Because my mother and my grandmother, they knew. They weren't going to put up with it. I didn't know at the time, but they weren't going to put up with it. They said, all right, let's go to church. And so I'm in church, and Brother Ted Shuttlesworth Sr.'s preaching. You know him. You know he has a great healing ministry that the Lord's given him. And so my mom and my grandma, they marched me right down there, and they said, you're getting healed tonight. And I was like, okay. I was like, I guess I am. And so I went down. I went down to the altar when he called for healing. And he prayed over me. And I'm telling you what, I felt it from the top of my head to the bottom of my feet. I felt the healing power go in the inside of me. You know, we talk about the woman with the issue of blood who felt, you know, the Lord felt or Jesus felt the healing power go out of him and into her. Well, I felt it go into me. And so I went back to the cardiologist. They ran all types of tests. They gave me an ultrasound. They gave me the works. And they said, we don't know what your heart, you just have one extra beat in it. You literally just beat to the march to the beat of a different drummer. You are fine. You're going to be fine for the rest of your life. There's no need to worry about it. That's the God we serve. This is the God we serve. I feel for so many years, and not that I've been in Christianity that long, but I know some people who have been in the faith for a very long time, that there was such a doctrine for such a long time that, you know, the Lord's given me this to teach me a lesson. Oh, God, I thank you, Lord, that you're sovereign, that your will be done. If you give me this disease, then maybe your glory will be seen. No. Think about it like this. We have any fathers in the room today? Any fathers? Yeah, all right. So what happens when your kid gets sick? You want your kid to be sick? No. So how much more does our Heavenly Father want us to be well? You wouldn't put, you know, a sickness on your kid to teach him a lesson, would you? No. It's very, I'm going to church it up, very not smart to believe that way. Because when you believe that way, God can't possibly work a miracle in your life. Because you just think that God gave it to you in the first place. A kingdom divided against itself cannot stand. If God gave you the disease, why would he take it out? So anyway, this is the God we serve. I'm not here to just give you some cute little message. I didn't have a cute little message. You know, I know I said I had, but everything was looking good. It was a beautifully, you know, message, but the Lord gave me a different message. You know, when I was in a service one night, and this is the reason I preach like this. You think like, oh, he's young, he's just, you know, running around and whatever. No, I'm going to preach like this for the rest of my life, praise God. And so I was up at the altar, and I was praying, and I was worshiping the Lord, and one of the pastors from my church came over, and he spoke to me, and he said, the Lord says to you, whatever you preach about is what you'll see in your ministry. You preach about healing, I have to show up. You preach about deliverance, I have to show up. When you attach your expectation to what you preach, my signs and wonders will follow. So that's why I'm sitting here telling you about the healings that have happened in my life, the deliverances that have taken place that I've seen. Because I know that when I speak the word, there's expectation happening in this room. Even right now as I'm speaking, there's faith that's being raised in this house right now. You know, you can think that the Lord will never do it for you, but I'll tell you what, the Lord doesn't change. If he does it for me, if he did it in the Dominican Republic, he can do it for each and every single one of you. And I don't care if you're sitting here today and you think that this is just the hand that God's dealt me. I'm here to tell you, brother, sister, this is not the hand that God's dealt you. That was the plan of the enemy, but the plan of the Lord is that you be well and that you be delivered and healed in Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. I'm believing, and I hope you are too, because this affects you. I'm believing, and I hope you're believing as well, that there will be life-changing testimonies that come out of today because of the expectation that's in this room. You know, when we look even in the Old Testament, we see as soon as the Israelites were taken out of Egypt, right? They were let out of Egypt, right? They expected what? They expected food. God said, "Here's the food." They expected provision. God gave them a provision. They said, "Lord, where do we go?" God gave them a way. You see, when you attach your expectation to your faith, when God sees your expectation and your faith, he acts, right? Why couldn't Jesus do miracles in Nazareth? Or why did he only could only do a few? It's because there was a lack of faith, right? Faith is the currency of heaven. So you're down here, you see a family member that maybe is in some struggle, or you yourself are in struggle. The faith in God will set you free, will set your family free, will set your friends free. You're going to be walking around and people are going to feel the faith coming off of you. That's faith. So and going with faith, I've already talked about healing, but I'm going to talk about deliverance. Can everybody go with me to Mark chapter 7, verses 24 to 30? Hallelujah. Praise God. Mark chapter 7, verses 24 to 30. I'm going to preach out of the NLT today. Oh, and Matthew. Like, why couldn't I find it? It's because you're in the wrong book, bud. So, the Bible says, then Jesus left Galilee, and he went to the northern region of Tyre. He didn't want anyone to know which house he was staying in, but he couldn't keep a secret. Right away, a woman who had heard about him came and fell at his feet. Her little girl was possessed by an evil spirit, and she begged him to cast out the demons from her daughter. Since she was a Gentile born in Syria, Phoenicia, Jesus told her, "First, I should feed the children my own family, the Jews. It isn't right to take food from the children and throw it out to the dogs." He was testing her faith because she was a Gentile. Jews looked down on the Gentiles. They looked at them and they thought they were dogs. He was testing her faith. She replied, "That's true, Lord. But even the dogs under the table are allowed to eat the scraps from the children's plates." "Good answer," he said. Now go home, for the demon has left your daughter." And when she arrived home, she found her little girl lying quietly in bed, and the demon was gone. You know, the Lord didn't just ask her that because he thought that she was a dog. Jesus loved her. You know, he wasn't calling her a dog. He was just trying to see if that she would persevere through that. That's why when she gave that answer, he was like, "Good answer. That's the answer I was looking for." That answer shows faith. Does your answer show faith? When the doctor gives you a report you don't like, When you know, circumstances come your way, what's your answer? Is your answer to get worried and cry about it and post it on social media asking for prayers? No. Is your response to get on your knees, worship the God, and say, "Thank you, Lord, that you've healed so many others in the past, and I thank you, Lord, that you're going to heal me now"? That is where our response as believers should be. When our faith is in God, I'm telling you what, when our faith is in God, there's not a single disease that can stand up. You know, everything that has a name must bow to the name of Jesus. Every single thing. Even diseases that, you know, maybe don't have a name yet. Maybe the disease is whoever's coming up with whatever disease doesn't have a name yet. It still has to bow. It still has to bow. Anything, any weapon that the enemy has tried to use against you to take out your life must bow to the feet of Jesus. Every single one of them. It doesn't matter. It may look big to your eyes, but God says, "That's it. It's out." Nothing is too big for our God. My God, your God, the God of this city, the God of this county, the God of this country, the God of this world. Nothing is too big. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's not just the way it is. This is not just how it is. God is looking and able to change your situation for his glory in Jesus' mighty name.
So the Syrophoenician woman showed her faith in that answer. And when Jesus heard that answer, he responded. And that little girl was delivered. Let me tell you a story about a personal story I've seen in my life is my grandmother. Now, I told you already that my grandmother's a praying grandmother, but she wasn't always like that. She had to get saved just like the rest of us. And so my grandmother, when I was a kid and even early into my teenage years, she was into a lot of new age spirituality. She was tarot card reading and fortune telling, things like that. Demonic, purely demonic stuff. She had been deceived to think that it was for the Lord, but it wasn't. It was straight from the devil. And so this is our second week, me and my mother of going to church. We invited my grandmother. We told her, come along. There's a South African evangelist named Dion Hockey who's gonna preach, and we just want to invite him. She's like, all right. So she comes, and she's listening and hearing, and she looks really responsive. She's really receiving what this evangelist is talking about. And so when the call comes up for salvation, she goes up. And when she goes up and the pastor's praying, she immediately just starts manifesting a demon. I don't know if you've ever seen a demon manifest. It is crazy. She screamed, and I am not lying, screamed at the top of her lungs for 60, a full minute. A full minute. Have you ever tried to scream at the top of your lungs? It doesn't last longer than like 7 seconds, right? And I'm telling you, this was not human, the thing that was in her. It was demonic. But how many know we serve a God that's bigger than all the demons? Praise the Lord. And so the evangelist laid hands on her and said, come out in the mighty name of Jesus. And she's still going, still going, still going, still going. Finally, they take her into the side, they take her over into the hallway. And it took, and this should tell you, my grandmother, she's my grandmother. She's not exactly going to be able to fight off 4 men. It took 4 men to get her into that hallway, dragging her out of there by her hands and feet. You know what I mean? I've seen some grandmothers a little feist in them, but I tell you what, not enough for 4 men to be able to take you out. And so the youth pastor, who's one of my mentors, he's in there, and he's cast the devil out. He said, in the name of Jesus, come out, out, out. The demon came right out. That's the God we serve. We serve. It's not too big for him. It's not too big for him. We heard your story of God healing you of cancer. That's the God we serve.
Hallelujah.
Just begin to praise him right now for what he's done. Begin to praise him.
Hallelujah. Praise God.
He's going to heal people today in Jesus' mighty name. He's going to deliver people in Jesus' mighty name. And finally today, I'm talking about faith for salvation. If everybody would flip over to Acts chapter 9. Acts chapter 9. And I'm going to be going from verses 1 to 19. Got a lot of Bible today. I hope you guys are okay with that. Praise the Lord. Acts chapter 9. So, the Bible says, meanwhile, Saul was uttering threats with every breath and was eager to kill the Lord's followers. So he went to the high priest. He requested letters addressed to the synagogues in Damascus, asking for the cooperation in the arrest of any follower of the way, Christianity, he found there. He wanted to bring them, both men and women, back to Jerusalem in chains. This sound like a good guy? Probably not. As he was approaching Damascus on this mission, a light from heaven suddenly shone down around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Who are you, Lord? Saul asked. And the voice replied, I am Jesus, the one you are persecuting. Now get up and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do. The men with Saul stood speechless, like any of us would be, for they heard the sound of someone's voice, but saw no one. Saul picked himself up off the ground, but when he opened his eyes, he was blind. So his companions led him by the hand to Damascus. He remained there blind for 3 days and did not eat or drink. Now there was a believer in Damascus named Ananias. The Lord spoke to him in a vision, calling, Ananias! Yes, Lord, he replied. The Lord said, Go over to Straight Street to the house of Judas. When you get there, ask for a man from Tarshish named Saul. He is praying to me right now. I have shown him a vision of a man named Ananias coming in and laying hands on him so he can see again. But Lord, exclaimed Ananias, I've heard many people talk about the terrible things this man has done to the believers in Jerusalem. And he is authorized by the leading priest to arrest everyone who calls upon your name. But the Lord said, go, for Saul is my chosen instrument to take the message to the Gentiles and to the kings, as well as to the people of Israel. And I will show him how much he must suffer for my name's sake. So Ananias went and found Saul. He laid hands on him and said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road, has sent me so that you might regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. Instantly, something like scales fell off of Saul's eyes, and he regained his sight. He then got up and was baptized. Afterward, he ate some food and regained his strength. Now, this is the story, if you haven't figured out yet, of how Saul became Paul. Saul killed Christians. Now, I'm not going to ask if you've murdered here. You know, I don't really want to know. It's not for me to know. But if any of you have murdered anybody here, you know, seek the proper authorities and repent. But how many know that if the Lord can forgive somebody who killed his own people, who killed Christians, right? Killed people who were in love with him, and he forgave him, God can forgive you. There is no sin too big for as God cannot forgive. You know, when Jesus was on the cross, he said, it is finished. He didn't say it, maybe not that it, is finished. No, he said, it is finished. The work that he was sent to do is finished. What was the work that he was sent to do? To die so that all the world's sins could be forgiven. All means all. Still means all today. Meant all back then. And it'll mean all forever in Jesus' mighty name. There is no sin too big. And there will never be a sin too big. You know, you could have been in a spot where I was before I found Christ, where I just thought, man, I've just done too much. The Lord couldn't possibly love me. I've done too much. I've sinned too much. I've cursed his name too many times. No, the Lord stands ready for you. He's not sitting there with a lightning bolt ready to strike you down whenever you screw up. No, he's standing there with arms open wide saying, son, daughter, come home. Come home. You know, we see the illustration of the prodigal son returning home. He went off, he blew his inheritance, he spent it, he partied, did all types of wicked things. And he came back to his father with his head held low, saying, Father, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. His father said, well, son, better go get the whip. You're going to need to take your punishment. No. He said, let's have a party. Kill the biggest calf. Kill the biggest animal. And we're going to have a party. We're going to have a feast. You know why? He was so happy for his son to come home and be with him. And I tell you today, my brothers and sisters, that the Lord is waiting at the door of heaven with his arms open saying, come to me. Let's have a party. The Bible says that every single time a soul comes to Christ, one soul, heaven has a party. And I'm telling you what, today is the day that there is going to be a rager in heaven because of how many souls are coming into his kingdom today. I thank God that he is the healing God. I thank God because he's a delivering God. And I thank God because he sent his son on that cross so that you and I could be saved in Jesus' mighty name. The Lord sent me on a mission, not to come here and to give you some religious service and to make you feel good. No, the Lord has sent me on a mission to see souls saved, to see people healed, to see people delivered, because he's done it in my life. And I would be doing you a disservice if I didn't share with you the good news that he's done in my life.
Hallelujah.
So as I close today, I ask that everybody would bow their heads and close their eyes. Right now, it's not the time for distractions. It's not the time to be thinking about, you know, whatever game's going on after this. This is between you and God. This is serious business.
Hallelujah.
So I want to ask anybody here today, do you feel like God could never forgive your sin? Are you in that dark place of feeling like, Lord, I feel like you're mad at me? I'll tell you today, like, God's not mad. He's ready for you to come home. There's no sin too big that God couldn't heal. Praise God. There's no sickness that the devil could put on you that God can't rip out of you. In Jesus' mighty name. There's no addiction. There's no mental illness. There is no affliction from the enemy that God cannot heal. In Jesus' mighty name. With heads bowed and eyes closed, I ask you today, brother, sister, are you right with the Lord? If today were to be your last day on earth, would you stand at those pearly gates? And would God say to you, well done, my good and faithful servant? If you said to yourself, man, I just don't think that God would say that to me. I think God would say, depart from me, for I never knew you. I have good news for you today. Today is your day to enter into the kingdom of God. You have a great pastor here. A great man of God who loves you, who wants to disciple you, who wants to see you, your friends, and your family all saved. Pastor Mike is a great man of God. And I know that it would be a privilege to have him as your pastor. But more importantly, God is a father who's sitting with open arms and saying, come home. So if that's you today, where you say to yourself, I don't know if I'm going to heaven if today was my last day, I would invite you right now as my wife is playing to come to this altar and receive Christ. But what will people think? We're going to be happy. You're in a church full of believers, people who are going to love you, love on you, and support you through everything. Just come now. Come now.